I'm looking forward to opening up the Bible. If you got your Bible, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 9. If you're using your phone, you can scroll and find Proverbs chapter 9. That's fine. We're going to have a good night in here. We're going to have a good night at the gym afterwards for those that care to watch old men beat up on teenagers in a basketball game. Yep. I'm undefeated. I haven't lost to teenagers in 16 years, and I don't think tonight will be the first, so we'll keep it going, all right? But we'll have a lot of fun, so if you guys want to do that, you can. Last week, we talked about wisdom. So this series is about two ladies, Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly, or Foolishness. And so last week, we talked about wisdom. Tonight, we're going to talk about foolishness, and then next week, we'll kind of tie it all together and wrap it up before spring break. And so let's do a little recap. Some of you I know take notes, so let's see if any of you can remember. Name some of the things that wisdom is. What, you have to say it loud. Wisdom is wisdom. Good job.
Slow to speak, quick to listen.
Yeah, there's some wisdom in being slow to speak and quick to listen.
It's the knowledge of right and wrong.
It is the knowledge of right and wrong. God-given knowledge, right, comes from the Lord.
Understanding instruction.
How does one achieve wisdom? God's word. It's a simple statement. You should ingrain it in your mind. Fear the Lord. That if I have a reverence for God and I fear the Lord, I'll begin to live a wise life, right? Because I want to do everything in my life because I have reverence of God and who He is and who He is in my life. And so we talked about wisdom. We talked about how you could achieve wisdom, and it starts with fearing the Lord. So tonight we're going to look at the other side of that. This is probably going to be the shortest message that I've ever preached, which I know some of you are like, sweet, that's awesome. But there's only so much that we want to talk about foolishness because we don't want to celebrate foolishness, okay? We want to highlight it. We want you to be aware of it. Because remember, I talked last week that you guys are in this stage of life that you're not yet wise, but you're not yet foolish. You're in between. And those who are foolish are trying to influence you. And those who are wise are trying to influence you. And you're in this state of life in which you can choose one way or the other. And so tonight we're going to talk about foolishness so that you can be aware of it. Let me share this with you to start with. On July 6, 2011, a guy by the name of Brian was hiking in a trail in the Yellowstone National Park, okay? And as he was hiking, he and his wife were there visiting the park, and they surprised a mother grizzly bear and her cubs. Yeah, you guys know where this is going. The National Park Service had issued a statement saying, in an attempt to defend a perceived threat to her cubs, the bear attacked and fatally wounded the man. Though the man did not intend to harm the bear or her cubs, she did not know that and responded accordingly to her nature with fatal results. There is a passage in Proverbs chapter 27 that speaks to the whelps of a bear and the paths of a fool. And let me say this to you. As dangerous as it is to cross paths with a mother bear and her cubs, the Bible tells us that it's even more dangerous to cross paths with a fool. So I share that with you to say this. There's a sense of weight that comes with foolishness. And we need to be aware of those in our life that follow the way of foolishness and how they impact and influence our lives. Because if we're really honest in this room, there are people in all of our lives that are fools. And some of them have more influence in your life than they should. And so let's read Proverbs 9. We're going to read verses 13 through 18, and then I'm going to share four things about foolishness with you and then talk about how you can avoid foolishness. And so here we go. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, and she calls to those who pass by. those who are going straight on their way, and she would say to them, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And whoever lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread, even eaten in secret, is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. And that's a very strange passage. Frankly, if I read that in passing, I'd probably be like, I have no idea what they're talking about. Okay? But I'm going to put it in kind of simple terms for us to kind of understand what is the way of wisdom and what is the way of folly. Listen, we talked about wisdom last week. If you want to read more about the way of wisdom, you can read chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, and you can kind of see the comparison and contrasting between the two. But here's what the way of foolishness is. Folly is appealing. No, sorry, that's point number two. Nope, actually, that's point number three. Sorry. Let's get it right here. Folly is loud. That's point number one. I scrolled too far on my iPad. Sorry. So folly is loud. Here's what we know from this passage. That in verse 13, the woman folly is loud. That's what it says, that exact language. And here's what we can know about this. The word loud, when translated in other contexts, okay? So like in the context when you're talking about city or land, this word loud would give you the idea of tumultuous, like this very kind of disruptive thing, okay? When you talk about the word loud in relation to the sea or oceans, it would give the idea of roaring, okay? Like a roaring ocean or a roaring wave, that kind of idea. When you use it when talking about bears and dogs, which is talked about in other places in Proverbs related to bears and dogs, it's this idea about barking or growling. And then when it talks about the woman here, it probably is best described as this, stormy. So when it says that folly or foolishness is loud, it's explaining this to us. This probably isn't the noise that you would want to run to. It's not a pleasant noise. It's a noise that's actually disruptive. It causes alarm. But yet there's a lot of people who think that noise is great. There's some sort of safety in it or pleasure in it. And so they run to it and they want to participate in this. And this is what you need to understand about this. Foolishness is loud. It's going to try to be the loudest in the room so that you'll hear it, so that you'll listen to it. I heard a guy say yesterday, I was talking to him via Zoom, we were talking, and I heard him say, he said, most of the time when I'm in a room, I don't speak first. I often listen and process. You know what that told me? He's learned the discipline of wisdom. To not be so quick to speak and so loud in the room that he's learned to listen and process so then he can respond accordingly. See, foolishness is loud. And listen, she's loud, she's arrogant, she's lazy. And by the way, you'll hear me use the female pronoun. That does not mean that I'm talking about you as ladies in this room. Okay, so let's just make that clear. I'm talking about foolishness when I speak to that, okay? Listen, foolishness will produce these same things in you. You'll become loud, you'll become ignorant, you'll become lazy. Because listen, while foolishness is loud, it's only speaking to you half-truths, and it's easily deceiving you. It makes something look good, and then it twists it just enough that it actually is deceiving you, and you begin to listen to it and begin to heed its advice, and then bad things happen. Number two, folly is visible. If you look in verse 14, it says, she sits at the door of her house, and she takes a seat on the highest places of the town. So let me put this in context for you. In an Israelite home, the door would most likely face like the center square, okay, or the center of town. And most of the time, the door would be open. And so when it says that foolishness sits at the door, it would have been that it was visible. Foolishness is seen by all kinds of people. When it says that it sits at the highest point, this is what it means when it says that it sits at the highest point, is that it would be possible for foolishness to be heard further away. So I'm going to go to the highest point, I'm going to be loud, and as I'm loud, my voice will carry to the furthest place. Listen, all we know is this, that folly happens in public and it's as loud as it can be because they wanted to invite as many people to join in as possible. Some would say this, that everyone is invited to the party of foolishness. So the people in your life who are fools, and listen, I'm not asking you to be judgmental, but I'm asking you to have an honest opinion of those that are around you, that are who the people speaking into your life. Those that are foolish, most of the time will be described by the loudest, and also are most likely doing the things that are most visible. And this is what foolishness does. It draws you in by volume, by visibility, and then once those two things happen, you begin to see, which is the third thing, that foolishness is appealing. Listen, when you're unfaithful to God, and you begin to walk in the way of foolishness, you're pursuing an idol. Because that's what foolishness does, is it elevates created things above the Creator. It makes the pursuit of relationships or the pursuit of pleasure or the pursuit of success greater than God who created it all. And so these things begin to look appealing to you because you hear them and you see them, and then now you want to be a part of them. And so it becomes this slippery slope that's taking place. And that's why we see these things that it says, they call out to the ones who pass by, who are going straight on their way, and says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Basically this, I have a shortcut for you. You're headed the right direction, but let me give you this shortcut on the way there. Or to the one who has no sense, these are people kind of acting foolishly anyways, then they basically say, hey, listen, stolen water is sweet and bread is good. And here's what you guys can know about this idea of appealing, that foolishness is appealing. It's a counterfeit. It copies wisdom in every way. If you look at chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, you'll see the same kind of language. Like, look in verse 6. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. In verse 5, come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine. Do you guys see how it looks very similar? But it's deceptive. It's a counterfeit. It takes the ways of wisdom and then it perverts them. And so she calls out the same people that wisdom does. And the invitation is for those that have not been shaped by wisdom. That's why they talk about the two types of people. Those who are on the straight way and then those who lack sense. It's because he's talking to you all. Young people who haven't become wise or haven't become fools, but are definitely being influenced by one or the other. And so Solomon is reminding the young people that, listen, you have to be aware of how this looks because they're counterfeits. They're not real. How many of you guys have been to the store and used cash and they bring out that little marker and mark it on a $100 bill? You guys ever seen that done? Some of you are like, what's cash? Right? Because you all live in a card world, right? So I paid cash for a new refrigerator and I handed them the money and Keegan was like, what are they doing with that marker? Why are they marking on that? And I was like, well, they're marking to see if it's a real $100 bill. And of course, she was like, well, what happens if it's not a real $100 bill? And I was like, well, then your dad's going to be in trouble, right? But listen, foolishness is counterfeit. If they took out the marker, even though it looked like a $100 bill and wrote on it, it would show that that's not real. Yet there are teenagers every single day buying into the lie, the counterfeit idea that foolishness is the way to live. Because here's what I know is this. To those on the straight path, those of you trying to live a good life, a wise life, foolishness tries to convince you of a simpler way. Simple here refers to wide and open and spacious. Sounds really familiar to New Testament language when Jesus says, right, that narrow is the gate that leads to heaven, but wide is the path that leads to destruction. And then to use the word of simple is the rejection of wisdom's offer to shape character. To those with no sense, she provides promises she cannot fulfill. She's telling them that if you come and do this in secret, no one's going to know, baiting you in to believe that it won't affect you or anybody else. What folly offers is pleasant and is done in private. This sounds like a great combo. It's good and nobody would see me do it. Well, at least that's what folly is selling you. Because this is the next part. Folly leads to death. It's the fourth thing. Following folly or foolishness leads to the grave. There is no escaping this reality. You want to choose the path of foolishness, you will die, and you'll follow it right to the grave. Foolishness in this context is inviting people into an illicit relationship. And this doesn't mean healthy. This relationship will actually lead you to apostasy and you will walk away from God. God and foolishness do not go together. She promises temporary pleasure, but she doesn't reveal that to you up front. She entices you in, gets you to believe it, and then you experience it, this temporary pleasure, and then what you know is this, guilt will set in, and then you'll realize, I have walked down a road I wish I would have never have walked. I haven't done something that I wish I would have never have done. I've said something I wish I would have never have said. I've been with people that I wish I would have never have been with. Students, if there's one thing you write down this whole evening, this is it. Foolishness is seeing the connection between your actions and their consequences. Like a cow walking into a slaughterhouse, you do not know what you're about to be, they do not know that they're about to become a filet mignon. And we laugh at that and think that's funny. That a cow, when they're dropped off at the slaughterhouse, they don't have any idea what's about to happen to them. I made the mistake of taking my two young boys to the slaughterhouse to drop off a deer for this hunting season. That it all brought all kinds of questions. What do they do there? Do the cows know what's going to happen to them? No, they don't. Listen, they get dropped off, and then they become a filet mignon. Yet we as people every day walk around with foolishness and walk into foolishness, not fully understanding the ramifications that are going to come if we continue to go down that path. Students, I love you, Dylan loves you, Maddie loves you too much to let you walk down paths of foolishness and become something that you can't see. That's why you have to have people in your life that speak wisdom into you, who say to you, I don't think that's a good idea. Or hit the brakes and say, I'm not sure that you should be engaging in that relationship. Or are you sure that's the wisest thing to do? If you don't have people in your life that ask you hard questions, then I would start to question whether or not they're wise people. I don't want to be somebody who sits in a room with people that just lets people make foolish mistakes. I want to be in somebody's life that speaks with wisdom, that tries to keep them from making foolish mistakes. And you should desire to do the same thing. And we've got to be careful, because foolishness leads to death. There is no way around it. If somebody wants to walk the path of foolishness, there is no hope for them. According to the scripture that we see here and what we can understand about God and how he deals with sin, right? At the end of the day, God doesn't tie it all together and make everybody go to heaven. Those who choose the path of foolishness, the opposite way of God, they will spend an eternity separated from him. See, foolishness offers as much but delivers little. Wisdom builds her house, but folly just sits there and expects us to be impressed with them in their presence. Wisdom offers meat and wine, but folly offers bread and water. Wisdom is dealing honestly with us, but folly is making big promises that it cannot back up. Wisdom's followers live more and more forever, while foolishness playmates die in a sugar-coated death before they even know what hit them. So how do you avoid folly? How do you and I avoid folly? This is what I can know, students. And I can pass on to you. When you say yes to foolishness, you do not realize the invitation that you're accepting. It's an invitation to your own funeral, that you will go into the grave. And while there may be destruction now, like public shame or loss of family or loss of money because of your foolishness, All of that is a foretaste of what is to come. Death and eternal separation from God. Most of you don't know who Augustine is, but he's this great person in history that we draw wisdom and knowledge from. He once told the story of how he stole something that he already had plenty of. He didn't even need to steal it because he had plenty of it, but this is what he said. He said, I wanted to steal it because there was something exciting about doing something that was wrong and not getting caught. Now, I don't know about you, but if we're all to be honest in this room, there's probably a lot of us that we've probably had the same great excitement that's come with, like, I just did something that was wrong and I didn't get caught. Because there's something that it does to us. And this is what he said. Such was my heart, O God, such was my heart, that you had pity on it when it was at the bottom of the abyss. And what he was saying is this, is that when I stole that, because it was fun and exciting to do something and not get caught, God reached down where he was in the pit, at the bottom of the abyss, and rescued him, and provided a way. So I'll ask you this question. Do you have a taste for sin and foolishness? Now, some of you are saying right now, like, nope, I don't have that right now. But I'm going to tell you this. You did at some point, because we're all sinners. I thought about opening the statement by saying we're all fools. You and I are all fools. Why? Because of our sinfulness. We did something that wasn't pleasing to God, and we were separated from him. We're born into a sinful nature, and by nature, at some point in your life, you did something that wasn't pleasing to God. You don't have to teach kids how to do the wrong things. Like, I don't have to teach Riker how to lie, and I didn't have to teach Keegan how to touch something we told him not to touch. He just naturally knows how to do it. You and I are fools. We are foolish people. So how do we jump out of a hole where there is no bottom? Like, if we're born into a sinful nature and we have no hope of saving ourselves, then how do we jump out of a hole that has no bottom? I'll say this. Jesus. Because you can't get out of the hole with no bottom. You can't get off the way of foolishness without Jesus. No matter how hard you try, and some of you, you're working this right now. You are trying your hardest to live a good life, doing good things. But listen, you can't do enough good things to get out of the hole that you're in of foolishness. Only Jesus can save you. And it's super important that you get that correct. That you are not saved because you do these things and live a wise life. Wisdom comes because Jesus made it possible for you to live a wise life because he rescued you. And so this is what we know. First, you need to trust in Jesus. Listen, I want you to hear this. Jesus loves you. Who you are in the bottom of that bottomless pit. He doesn't love the rehabilitated you. He loves you. Who you are, no matter how foolish and messed up you have done, he loves you. Listen, Charles Spurgeon reminds us there's no adjective to describe the sinners that Jesus loves. It doesn't say that Jesus loves the worst of sinners or Jesus loves the sinners who have come to their senses. It's Jesus loves sinners. A sinner with nothing in their hand and no prerequisites to receive his love. He loves you and he's rescued you and he wants that to happen. And listen, how does this happen? Because he lived a perfectly wise life. He was the fulfillment of all the Proverbs. Yet he took the punishment for your foolishness. He chose wisdom every time and he died a death that he did not deserve. In fact, he died the death that you and I deserve because of our own foolishness. He went into the grave and he burst out of that grave 3 days later, conquering sin and death. And listen, today if you recognize the foolishness in your life, repent of it and surrender your life to Jesus for salvation, you will be saved. He will make you wise. He will make your conscience happy and free again. Second, how do I avoid the way of foolishness? Listen, if you've already trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, then you should never stop asking Jesus to show you the foolish areas of your life that you need to repent of and run to him so that you can become more like him. Listen, just because you got saved as a ninth grader and you've been walking with Jesus, now you're a senior, doesn't mean that you don't still aren't tempted to go down the pathways of foolishness. Remember, she sees no difference. She calls out to the straight, and she calls out to the people who have no senses. She's relentless in trying to get you off the path. And so we all have moments in our life where we act foolish, and we need to ask God to reveal those to us and repent of them regularly. The third thing that you can do to avoid this is this. Be someone who has a fear of the Lord and allow it to shape your life. When you wake up in the morning, do you wake up with a fear of God? Or do you wake up in the morning and seek to say, I'm going to get through this day on my own power and my own strength? Fourth, surround yourself with wise people. There are those who are mature in faith and who have lived life and lived through life experiences. These are the people you should surround yourself with, and these are the voices that you should hear. And you need to evaluate, are there people in my life that are acting pretty foolishly and I've given them too much influence in my life? I might give an example of this. Let's say you have a friend in your life that you try to lean into and you want to hang out with, and they're a good friend to you, but their language is terrible. Is that somebody that you want speaking into your life? So we have to think through these things as we engage with people, and I'll explain that here in a minute. Fifth, ask yourself this question: what's the wise thing to do? In every decision you make, today, tomorrow, and then the days ahead, the question we should ask is, what's the wise thing to do? Hey, I need you to do this assignment for school and this group project, and you know, why not ask the question, what's the wise thing to do in this situation? Hey, my teammates are asking me to come be a part of this activity after practice. What's the wise thing to do in this situation? Hey, my boyfriend's asking me to do this with them this weekend. What's the wise thing to do in that situation? See, when we start asking that question, it starts to put it in perspective that I fear the Lord enough to ask and take a step back and say, what's the wise thing for me to do? Because I don't want to walk down the path of foolishness because it leads to the grave. The way of wisdom leads to life, and it's a good life. And then last, understand that wisdom is listening, knowledge of right and wrong, following guidance, and having discernment. Listen, these things take time. Quick solutions may not always seem to be what they appear. In 1929, well before people in this room were born, it was the Rose Bowl, and it was the California Golden Bears. This should tell you how old it was, because California Golden Bears haven't played in the Rose Bowl in forever. The Bears are playing against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, and it provided one of the most famous plays in college football history. In the second quarter, California player Roy Riegels recovered a fumble, but instead of advancing it, he became disoriented and began running toward his own end zone. A teammate finally stopped him at the goal line, but the 2 points Georgia Tech scored following wrong way Riegel's mistake proved to be the winning margin in the game. Now listen, many times Christians make the mistake of thinking they can face the world and even move toward it without adverse consequences. Listen, students. They think that since they are not yet close to those consequences, that they are fine. But in truth, the direction in which we are pointed tells the story of where we will end up. So I'm going to ask you, in your life right now, whether you're in the sixth grade or you're a senior or anywhere in between, is the direction of your life pointed towards Jesus and walking the way of wisdom? Or is the direction of your way pointed towards foolishness and indulging in the world's pleasures? Because here's what I'll tell you is this. The direction in which we are pointed tells the story of where we will end up. This is a matter of life and death. Wisdom and foolishness is a matter of life and death, and I'll end with this. Only embracing the way of wisdom will lead to a good life. Some might say that there's two ways, and I just mentioned those two ways, life or death. But actually, there's only one way to life. Because the other way, it leads to death. There's really only one way. It's life, or you choose to die. You can choose to have life and have it in its fullness by fearing God and trusting in Jesus and following the ways of wisdom. Or you can choose to indulge yourself and you'll receive all of your rewards here on earth, and then you'll spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And so I'll ask you this question. Which way are you facing? Because you're in the age that Solomon would say, you have not yet become wise and you have not yet become foolish, but you are in a very moldable age. And so I would ask this question, which way are you facing? And you need to take that seriously and then ask the Lord to reveal to you what you need to do in your next steps. Let's pray. Listen, you're in here, the band's going to come up and we're going to sing a few songs and we're going to worship and then we'll get out of here and we'll go on about our way. But let me ask this question. Is there anybody in this room that would say, Jeff, I'm walking the way of foolishness and know tonight that I need to stop, I need to repent of my sin and foolishness, and I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? You'd raise your hand. I'm the only one looking. Everybody else is doing the right thing by closing their eyes. It's just between me and you. I know for a fact, Jeff, that I'm walking in the way of foolishness, and that Jesus tonight is calling me to repent of that and to trust in Him as my Lord and Savior. You'd raise your hand. I see one hand. Anybody else? Listen, if that's you, when we stand and sing in just a minute, there's adults. I'll ask them just to get out of their seat and stand along the back. You go find one of them and tell them you want to give your life to Jesus and stop walking the way of foolishness. Don't be scared of it. It's the best decision you'll ever make. It's a life or death situation, and always choose life when Jesus gives us the option. Second, some of you in here, you know Jesus, but He's revealed to you through this message that you're walking in some foolish ways. And you need to confess and repent. Maybe you might need to go do that with an adult leader just so that you have an action that says, I'm going to do this. Maybe you need to stay seated when we stand and sing in just a minute and pray and ask the Lord to forgive you. But you respond accordingly. Jesus, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would reveal to us the areas of our life that are not pleasing to you, and that we would confess them, and that we would repent of them, and that we become more like you. Father, for those that are in here that raised their hand, they don't have a relationship with you, I pray that you would give them the courage to get out of their seat and go back and talk to somebody and experience the life-changing salvation that you offer us. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the warnings that Solomon gave those young people then that still speak to us today about the dangers of foolishness. May we heed them in our lives today and choose life. We pray this in your name. Amen.